wonderful book. A lot of people are hesitant to get into the book because there's a lot of things that we see that are a little hard for us to understand. Now, there's a lot of symbolism there, a lot of different aspects to it. But one thing is that, you know, we just trust that God can show us what we need at the moment. Amen? So we're going to read it, and we're going to try to understand it, because it says blessed are the ones who understand the words of this book, and so we want to be blessed. Do you want to be blessed, church? Say amen to that. All right, so we're gonna look here at Revelation chapter 10, verses 8 through 11. And so we saw an angel who came that was clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was on his head, and his face was like the sun, and his feet were like pillars of fire. And he had a little book earlier in this chapter open in his hand, and he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land. And we got to understand that this angel is symbolizing that God is a God of promise. God is a God of covenant, and he's going to keep those promises in that covenant with us. And someday he's coming back to claim what is rightfully his, because he created it. Let's jump forward to verse 8, and if you could stand for a moment as we read these verses, 8 through 11. Let's read. Then the voice which I heard from heaven spoke to me again and said, go take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the earth. So I went to the angel and said to him, give me the little book. And he said to me, take and eat it, and it will make your stomach bitter, but it will be as sweet as honey in your mouth. Then I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it, and it was as sweet as honey in my mouth. But when I had eaten it, my stomach became bitter. And he said to me, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. Lord, please give us insight into this today as we look at your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's all have a seat. So first thing that I'm going to draw out of this area of scripture is that God calls us to take in the word of God, to ingest his word. And in Revelation 10:8-9 that we just read, we see that he's given a command. And the angel said to him, you know, give me the little book. And he said to me, take and eat it, and it will make your stomach bitter, but it will be as sweet as honey in your mouth. If we look at John chapter 5 or chapter 6, verse 53, there's a bigger passage here that bears going back and reading, so I'm going to encourage you to do that later on today as maybe your own personal Bible study. Read John chapter 6. It's a wonderful area of Scripture. In fact, what happened toward the beginning of John chapter 6 is Jesus fed the multitudes, and it was a miraculous way that he fed them. And then he found out that they were following him everywhere he went because they wanted more food. And you know, God will give us physical blessing at times when we ask for it. He will provide for us, and he has provided for me. Has he ever provided for you at times? It's awesome whenever he does it too, isn't it? But you know, the thing of it is, he doesn't want us to only follow for the physical blessing. Because you know, sometimes following Christ can be a little rough physically, amen? But he wants us to continue to follow him because he has bread for us in a spiritual way. And so look at what he says in John 6, 53. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And it was such an astounding claim that he made, and it offended a lot of the people, and he had a lot of people following him at that point. And he had laid it out for him, and he said, you're following me only for the food. So you know, you really need to be following me for me, so that you can gain and grow and become more like me. And so to do that, he calls us to, in a sense, take him in through his word. Take him in and ingest what he has to offer. It needs to become our daily food. You remember earlier I said this is a day of prayer and fasting? Don't just not eat if you do decide to follow in with this, but take that extra time when you would eat and get out the Bible. Read it. Let it be your food. Just for the day. Just for maybe a meal or whatever. See if what he's saying isn't true. Because you see, if we'll forsake the fleshly nature for just a little while, sometimes sometimes the spiritual benefit will be much greater. And that's what he's saying, you know, is you need to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And, you know, a lot of the people got up and left. It was an offensive statement to them because they didn't understand the spiritual nature of it. And I don't know if you guys remember this area of Scripture, but he turned around and looked at his disciples, you know, the 12. And they were sitting over there puzzled as anybody, I'm sure. And he said, are you going to leave too? Simon Peter, the one, you know, that we all love because he was always jumping out there to say what he's got to say. And he said, where else do we have to go, Lord? You have the words of eternal life. That's the perfect answer. You know, that's the perfect answer. Take him in. Let him be your lifeblood. Let him be the food of your life. We also have the Lord's Supper that we're going to participate in here today. I told you there were a lot of things going on today. This is a big day here at our church. And a lot of people think that that's all that he meant was that you should partake of the Lord's Supper. I think that's part of it. I think, that the time would come whenever we would gather together. And that was the one of two ordinances that he left us with and told us to do these until I come back. But I think ultimately, whenever we couple this with what we see here in Revelation, he's talking about take in his words. Take in the reality of salvation. Take in this reality that to know Jesus is to be with him forever in heaven. Amen? Isn't that a beautiful reality? But what we've also got to understand is what is sweet to the saved is going to be terrible for the lost. So when we think about Judgment Day and we say, oh, come, Lord Jesus. You know, and I do. I wake up in the morning. I say, if today's the day, Lord, I want to be ready. Come today. But have you thought about how many unsaved people would be on the other side of the fence if he came today? There's not, you know, I just want you to understand that even if it comes down to the end of our life and that person that we're talking about who is still lost, if they were to die today, there's no second chances. There's no redos on this. We're not going to be reincarnated to get to try it again. The Bible is clear. It says it is appointed for man to die once. Hold up your finger. Once. And then the judgment. And there's only one way. Hold up the other finger. That one way is Jesus. You know, back during the Jesus Revolution in our country, you know, the 70s, the early 70s, that became the symbol of Christianity. Whenever people would say, hey, I'm one too. They would hold up the one finger, and if the other one, I mean, from a distance, would hold up their finger too, they would know then that they were like-minded. And in multiple generations, there's been these different symbols. I like that symbol. One. Because there's only one way. It's through Jesus. Do you know him? I praise God that I'm speaking to people that for the most part, probably most of the people, I hope all the people in this room today know him. But I want to invite you, if you don't, let today be the day that you start that relationship with him. He's calling you. He's saying, I'm the way. Some people are mad because there's only one way. But I want you to consider what the one way is. The life of the Son of God to pay for our sins. Don't be upset there's only one way. Just be praising God that he is the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He showed us that way. He is showing us that way today. So that gospel, that good news is sweet to the saved, but it's terrible for the lost. Therefore, it can sometimes be difficult for us to swallow. I witnessed to a lady in Mexico. In fact, me and Brother Bill sat down and talked to her one day with another Mexican pastor. And whenever we were witnessing to her, she had followed the way of Catholicism and thought that it was the Catholic Church that could save her. I want you to know the Baptist Church can't save you. The Catholic Church can't save you. The Assembly of God can't save you. No church can save you. Only Jesus can save you. And so she was sitting there and she had been trusting that the Catholic Church and their traditions could save her. She was probably in her 70s and she had this family altar thing over with these different little symbols of gods and goddesses and then there was these pictures of dead relatives, and she was actually giving offerings to these dead relatives food offerings and laying them out there. And whenever a mouse would come along and eat some every now and then, she thought that it was her dead relative eating it. And so she was trying to convince herself that this way was really going to work. And so we began to share about Christ and how he's the only way. And she was very deeply considering it. And she looked at us in tears. And she said, "But if I accept that that is the way, what does that mean for all of my ancestors that have died believing differently?" And I said, "Ma'am, I want to share with you, they already know. Regardless of where they fell out, they already know. There's no changing it for them. But you have the opportunity to change it for you and for following generations." I would like to say that she received the Lord. I don't know for sure. She didn't that day. She was still pondering because, you see, it was sweet. But once it started going down, it felt bitter. I want you to know, no matter what these implications cause for somebody else that you might be thinking of, you are only responsible right now for yourself and your own salvation. You can't save anybody, and they can't save you. Only Jesus can save you. But I will say that what you decide on that will have implications for the future generations. And so it's very important that we take this that information, and even the information that there will be a coming judgment. That's what he's learning here today in this little book, that part of that good news is that Jesus is coming back. That's good news. But for those who are opposing him, it's going to be dreadful. It's bitter. But don't let that bitterness keep you from taking it in. Amen? We need to allow it to be sweet to us, and then we need to live out that sweetness every day. We need to let it be the reason why we get up in the morning. We need to let it be the reason why we interact with others as well. Not that there's some kind of a project, but is Jesus really your all in all? If he is, he needs to come up. He needs to come up in your daily conversations. He needs to come up in the way that you live. The joy of the Lord should be our strength, as the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Amen? The power. Let's say it together. The power of God. Our God is not weak. That is not why there's still evil existing in this world. It's not because he's weak. It's because he is patient, and he is wanting more people to have the opportunity to be saved and inhabit heaven in the future. That's why he's been patient, and he's allowed evil to continue to exist for a time. But I'm telling you, when that day comes, his power will be displayed outwardly. But you don't have to wait till then, because the power will be displayed inwardly in you if you will receive Christ. Praise God. He is powerful to save. And we are to proclaim it nonetheless, even though it may cause a feeling of bitterness sometimes. We're not to reject our opportunity to proclaim it. Amen? So we are to proclaim it. And as we see here in Revelation 10, verse 11, and he said to me, "You must prophesy." Do you know what the word prophesy means? Speak the word of God. Speak God's words, literally. So as God spoke to him, he's saying, "You need to prophesy of this," or "speak my words about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings." Our calling is the same. You see, he gave it to him in this amazing way, and then he gave it to us in this amazing way. We are 2,000 years removed almost from the time that this was given to John, and yet we hold it in our hands. How much does it cost for you to get a Bible? You can buy a cheap Bible for $2. You can actually send a Bible to a person in a persecuted land for $5, $6. It changes because, you know, inflation. But it's worth it. Think about it. You're giving them the words of life. That is cheap. How'd you like the movie we watched today? Those Bibles. That's based on a true event that happened. Those Bibles change lives. They change souls. Did you not hope for that, what was his name, Marco? Marcus? Didn't you have hope in your heart for him? Because he had received that Bible before he died, that maybe he came to Christ. We'll have to wait and see. But he had an opportunity, right? Because that pastor was faithful. And he wouldn't deny his faith. Even though it was bittersweet to him at the moment, you'd think it felt a little bitter. Hey, wait a minute. I agreed to follow you, Lord. Here's my wife and my child. They're in danger. What should I do? God said, trust me. Just trust me. And he did. And we saw more opportunities to hand out Bibles there. You know, there's a missionary in that area, missionary family in the very same area of Colombia, the Stindl family. I don't know how many of you guys have ever heard of them, but they've been down there for 3 generations now. They have relationships with the guerrillas, with the paramilitary, and even with government officials. They have been able to be a witness in Cuba, as we've seen more freedom coming to Cuba and things of that nature. And do you know what? God has protected them through it all. If he did decide to call them home, where are they going? Glory. To live as Christ and to die as gain. Let it be sweetness to us as we take it in, and let us see that he wants us to proclaim it nonetheless. And that's what he said. You must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. I'm going to end with 2 more verses from 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences. This was our brother Paul speaking to the Corinthian church. And then you follow on down into chapter 5, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Let's say that together. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. And this is what he's calling us to plead. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. He wants us for that to be our message, that we share with others. Of course, we share that we love them. We share that we want to be good to them. We share that we want to meet them at their point of need. But they need to see and hear that we also share that Jesus is the way. Amen? Jesus is the way. I praise God that he has given us this message. And I remember when I first got saved and I started thinking of all my family members that weren't. And it was so bittersweet to me. And I'll tell you, I shed tears. How can I live this out when so many of them are not on the same page? I received, you know, scoffing and things of that nature at times from them. I lost friends over following Christ. I had different challenges over following Christ, but I'll tell you, as it was bittersweet to me, I continued to pray for those dear family members, and I got to see many of them come to faith. My mom and dad came to faith because I just tried to live Christ out through whatever challenges it may be. But eventually they asked me. My sister has come to faith. Many of the people in our family have come to faith. And I get to know that my mom and dad have gone on to be in heaven with my grandma, who was at the very least very diverted from that faith walk for many years, and she came back. And now I'm looking forward to getting to heaven and seeing them someday. But I want you to make that commitment today that you're not only going to accept Christ, but you're going to live for Christ. Are you ready to commit your heart fully to him? It may be a recommitment of faith. I don't know. Maybe you've been there, but you've gotten a little bit, you know, you've wandered. Don't be afraid to say, Lord, I recommit my life to you today. Maybe you've never been there and you've been kind of on the edge and you've been hedging on this thing. I want you to know he's real. He's not going to let you down. He's the way and the truth and the life. I want you to make sure your life is right with Christ. As we go into this last song before we do the Lord's Supper, if I could have the music team come up, let me pray for you on this. Dear Father, I pray that you would bless each one of us in the decision that we have to make today to stand for you, to be an ambassador for Christ. Lord, this message is bittersweet, but it's real. This is really the only way for anyone to be saved. If they don't know Jesus at the end, they're going to have to pay for their sin. And that means hell forever. It's bittersweet. That part's bitter to us. But the sweet part is you have made the way. So, Lord, help us to share that with others and help us to be sure that we are in the faith ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen.